My name's Ray O'Keefe. I'm an alcoholic. First step of our program says that we, you and I, admitted that we were powerless over alcohol. Dash. That our lives have become unmanageable. We. See, I tried many times to stop drinking by myself. I tried every way there was. I drank. I don't talk about drinking much when I do the steps. It really isn't important, but in this step I do mention a few things. I drank for 20 years, from 14 to... actually, 23 years, from 14 to 37. I came to AA the first time in 1963. I stayed 10 months. I got drunk. And I came back in 1965. And I drank the way Bill drank. I drank from 2 to 3 quarts of vodka a day. And I was trying to work and trying to make believe I wasn't drunk, and that's very hard work. And I was a lawyer, I still am, and I was a professor of law, and I still am. And that's what I was doing, and I was trying to make believe I was sober. And then I got to the bottom. Bill got to the bottom. We all got to a bottom. And what is a bottom for me may not necessarily be a bottom for you. But I tried every way there was to stop drinking by myself. I drank. I went on. I would never drink martinis out of the house. That's get you in big trouble. And I did that for about a week. And then I would not mix drinks, or I would mix drinks, or I would drink this, or I'd drink that, or I'd drink something else. Many people told me to drink something else. They said, don't drink those martinis, O'Keefe. You know, they get you drunk, and then you become unbearable. Many, many people told me to drink somewhere else. Please, you know, go away with that. Don't let him in here. But nobody told me about this business. And I tried. I really did. I tried everything. I tried doctors, nurses. I tried priests. I tried religion. I tried all kinds of stuff. I was in hospitals, sanitariums, farms. And, I was drunk all the time. And I knew about alcohol. My whole family is alcoholic. I grew up in the South Bronx. I knew what happened in my neighborhood to people that drank the way I did. I knew about my family. I'd been to funerals. I knew why my uncles kept dying. Nobody made age 50. I knew all about it that way. Didn't make any difference, just like Bill. He knew about it. He knew what was the matter with his family. Bob knew. Bob was not stupid. Bill was bright. Bill was a graduate of law school, so we know he was bright. And Bob was a doctor, so there's hope for him. So. But the book tells us over and over again, self-knowledge does not help. I knew about alcoholism, but I kept drinking. When I have the opportunity to talk at open meetings, I try to describe a bottom, and this is how I usually do it. I say to you that there is a line somewhere beyond which we simply are not permitted to go. And I say to you that there is a point somewhere below which we are not permitted to sink. And I say to you that there is a level of pain somewhere beyond which no human is required to endure. And this is an individual and a personal thing. It's different in each case. And in some cases, it may be death. I had an older brother who was 4 years older than I, and big, tall, handsome, good-looking Irishman, didn't look at all like me. My brother Billy, and he was my older brother, my only brother, and my hero. Because my father died when I was about 3, and I didn't have a father, but I had Billy. And they called me from the Veterans Hospital in Minneapolis, and they said he was dead of alcoholism. He was 46, I think. But my brother Billy doesn't drink anymore. He stopped drinking. He died. And for other people, it can be something trivial. But the line is there someplace. I don't know where it is for you. I only know my own story. But the line is there, and we have to come to it. And we do come to it in our own way, and sometimes in our own time. And then we have to become part of this thing. Part of the we. Part of Alcoholics Anonymous. I tried to stop by myself. There is no possible way I could do it, and I don't think there's any possible way you can do it. You may stop drinking. You're not going to become sober. That's different. Alcoholics Anonymous is to become sober, not just to stop drinking. They're two different things. If you simply have a drinking problem, knock it off. What the hell's wrong with you? Is that it? You drink too much? Well, for Christ's sake, lay off. Don't drink, stupid. See? I mean, 12-year-old kid could give you that one. What's his problem? He drinks too much. Tell him to stop. Stop. Go ahead. Stop. That's not us. See? People who drink too much, they become a pain in the ass, and they drink, and they put the lampshade on their head, and then they start talking dirty and stupid, and the next day they say, oh, that's awful, and they go to work. That's not us. If you drink too much, go away, for God's sake. Don't bother us. We're powerless over alcohol. That's different. That's a different thought. It isn't that I should drink less. If you drink too much, drink less. How can you argue with that logic? The man drinks too much. Well, tell him to drink less. Don't drink so much. You'll be all right. All right? Why don't you drink like a gentleman? Did they ever tell you that? My wife has a brother-in-law named Louie, who's a lawyer in Lowell, Massachusetts. She used to say, why don't you drink like Louie? I said, if I live to be 1,000, I'll do nothing like that son of a bitch. You know? The cheapest guy I ever met in my life, Louie, the lawyer from Lowell. You know? He was my wife's role model. Drink like Louie. I said, I'll die first. And I almost did. I almost did die. But being powerless, that's a spiritual concept. Have no power. That's it. I have no power. I can't drink any less. And God knows I couldn't drink any more. There's no way. I just have no power over alcohol. My life is unmanageable. It's the same thought. If you look at the steps over there on that wall, you're not going to see two thoughts. You're going to see one in the first step. There is no connecting word in there. It doesn't say we were powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. It's got a dash. And to show you that I'm grammatically sophisticated, a dash in grammar is the equivalent of an equal sign in mathematics. They're saying the same thing twice. My life was powerless. I was powerless over alcohol because my life was unmanageable. And you know why my life was unmanageable? Because I was powerless over alcohol. It's all one thing. There's one thought there. And the step says that we, together, you and I, us, we admit this. There were no steps until the book was published in 1939. And by that time, 100 or so alcoholics had become sober. And they wrote that book, and then for the first time, those steps appeared. And they thought backwards, this crowd. Now, Bill did the physical writing, and it was circulated around to the then members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they all made their suggestions and put a little input into it. But the thing they all came to the conclusion, and they all agreed on, the very first thing was they had to admit they were powerless over alcohol, that their lives had become unmanageable. I mean, that's a very nice phrase for what my life was. When I got here, unmanageable is a beautiful way to put it. A lot of other people had reviewed my life, and they use language not half as nice as unmanageable, I'll tell you. I had been a professor of law at the Fordham University School of Law. In 1960, I was thinking of quitting. I wanted to make some more money than I could make teaching, because I had a lot of children. I was also drinking a lot. And the dean of the school told me that it was better if I didn't quit because I'd be the next dean of that school when I was then about 30 years old. In 1962, the very same dean called me into the very same office and demanded my resignation because I'd become an embarrassment to him and to that school, which I really was very fond of. And that was in 1962 when I came my first time in Alcoholics Anonymous in January of 63 and came back again in November of 65. And by the time I came back in November of 65, everything had gone away. I wasn't really sure where it had gone. I mean, there I was at one time, I had moved from the South Bronx as a kid. My mother was alcoholic and had no father, and I went through all these schools. I went through practically all of them, three, because I was bright. And I had great promise. I had led my law school class, and people expected great things from me. And in 1958, I was the youngest tenured professor of law in the United States. So they thought, here's a real star, this kid, bright young kid. But in 1962, they took that all away. It went away. It just went away. I had bought a very nice home in a very nice town, and that was going. I had a wife. I think I had six children at that time, and some more after that. And I didn't know who they were. And I lived in terror. I don't know if you've ever had that. I'm not talking about fright. I'm not talking about fear. I'm talking about terror. The kind of terror that immobilized me. I would not answer the phone, and I would not open the mail. Who knows what's going to jump out of one of those envelopes? You know? When I came into AA in 1965, I didn't have a driver's license. The reason I didn't have a driver's license was I hadn't been caught drunk driving, although I should have been. But they sent me the renewal, and I threw it away. Because I threw away all the mail. I don't want that. Throw it away. Then I didn't have a license. It expired. A state trooper told me one day it expired. He was very observant. He said, look, it expired. I said, oh, yes, thank you. And I put it back. I live with this terror. And I think it was more the terror and the mental and spiritual devastation in my life that brought me to Alcoholics Anonymous, more so than the alcohol, if you know what I mean. I could put up with the being drunk. I learned to live with that. So you're drunk. A lot of people are drunk. You know? I would make a list, great men who drank. You know? And so I wet the bed a little. These things happen. You wet the bed. Every once in a while you crap in your pants. Well, you know, the body is not perfect. And you smell badly. Well, people just have to put up with that. That's all. And I learned to drink, and my right leg was numb right up to my hip, and I used to walk funny. But I learned to do it. I put up with that. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad to throw up every morning. I used to brush my teeth and then throw up. I did that for about 2 years, and I got smart. I would throw up, and then I would brush my teeth. A little cleverer as you get older. But I could put up with that. It was all right. It was okay. I wasn't bothering anybody. I wasn't bothering anybody. It's my life. Leave me alone. You know, I'll put up with this. It's okay. You watch, I would say to myself. You watch. You see me laying down here in this gutter? You wait, you son of a bitch. I'll get up out of this gutter one day. You'll see. You'll hear from me, boy. You'll get a sharp letter from me in the morning as soon as I finish throwing up here and tidy up a bit, you know, and get an office and buy a typewriter and do a few other things. Things were tough. Things were tough. But that's not what drove me in here. I really, you know, looking backwards at it, what drove me in here basically was the terror. I just could not handle that terror anymore. Why I came to AA the day I came back, I don't know. It was the same as so many other days. It was just the same kind of a day, another gray day. I didn't know whether I was going to drink that day or not drink that day. I hadn't had a drink for about 2 days. Three, maybe. I wanted one very badly. I didn't know whether I would. Sort of a toss-up whether I'd have a drink or not. I called up a guy I knew who was a friend of mine, my sponsor. His name is John. John came over and he straightened me out. You know, you've heard it in AA, and I've seen it 1,000 times. They say you don't really hear things until you're ready to hear them. John came into my office that day. I talk about him a lot when I talk in the steps. I talk about my sponsor a lot because he's some piece of work, this guy. He looks like a Catholic priest. He's got gray hair and blue eyes and a clear Irish skin. And he's a lawyer and all of that. John came in and he grabbed me, put his hand on me. I don't like that. I don't like people banging on me. How you doing? Whack you. Get out of here. But he had me by that thing, you know. I really felt sort of a charge, John. And he said, you know, you don't have to live this way. He said, you don't have to drink anymore. That really hit me. And I started arguing with him. Well, he said, don't drink. That's the rule. Don't drink. Go to the meetings. I told him I shouldn't work in this place. It's not a place for me. I was in this 15-cent law firm. Man of my stature. They would pay me a salary. He said, don't drink. It'll get better. I told him I can't go home anymore. You know, she's got court orders and all this stuff, and I'm not allowed up there. He said, don't drink. It'll get better. So I'm being sued by Bankers Trust. A little question of fraud in a loan application. Yeah, he said, well, don't drink. It'll get better. I sense there was no dialogue there. I mean, I had life problems. I wanted to talk to him about my life problems. Job, money, family, wife, bank. Very boring. Don't drink. That was his advice. Don't drink. But that's typical of new people, isn't it? They don't want to talk to you about drinking. They want to talk to you about their drunk driving. They want to talk to you about their wife, that son of a bitch boss. Things are horrible on the job. I don't want to talk about drinking. The drinking is going to kill him. None of this other stuff is going to kill him. Maybe the wife, with very good reason in most cases. And that was me. I don't want to talk about this stuff. John just said, don't drink. And for the first 6 or 7 months or a year that I was around, that was, I'd say, oh, he'd say, yeah, well, don't drink. Great sponsor. I'd say, I don't feel so good. He'd say, well, this may be as good as you'll ever feel. And I'd say, when am I going to get a good job? He said, you had one. I said, I need money. He said, for what? To get drunk? You don't need any money for what you're doing. This is the way he was. And then he would make me read the book to him. He used to sort of make believe he was illiterate. We had a guy come to the group one time I was a member of, and he had a brand new theory about capillaries. Alcoholism and capillaries. He was a very smart guy, this guy. And he used to give me this whole thing on capillaries. That sounded good to me. I had about 4 months. So I had John, and John was at the house about a day later. I said, capillaries. John said, get the book. I got the book. He said, find a part about the capillaries. I'm going. So finally I look up, I said, I don't think it's in here. He says, then it's not important. If it was important, it would be in that book, because that book is divinely inspired. I talk about the book a lot. He said, if there's something you have to know, it'll be in 164 pages. Nothing else you have to know. That's what you got to know. 164 pages, and you might be able to comprehend that if you go to enough meetings. Now, I had to stop drinking. That was it. If you're new, you've got to stop drinking. You must stop drinking. No one cares what else you do in the beginning. That's where you are. You must stop drinking. And you can stop drinking. Look around this room. Nobody's drunk. Can you imagine this room if each one of us had one drink? Nobody could live here for more than 5 seconds. I mean, we'd blow this building up. And when they came to the wreckage, we were all so anonymous, they'd never know what happened. So if you knew, that's message number one. You cannot drink. A lot of people come to Alcoholics Anonymous and they enjoy the fellowship. They enjoy the meetings. Some of them even enjoy the coffee. These are the real sick ones. But they don't want to stop drinking. See? They don't want to stop drinking. They want to drink a little bit. Just a little bit. Not a lot. They don't want to be piggy about it. I tried to stay half drunk all the time, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't even stay all drunk half the time, or half drunk all the time. I couldn't do that. When I drank, I got drunk. I never knew there was any other way to drink. But I had to stop drinking. After I stopped, and maybe I didn't have a drink for several months, then I could see I was powerless over alcohol. So you come in now, we say, listen, you're powerless over alcohol. Nobody ever told you that before. Nobody ever told you that before. They told you you drank too much, and you did. But that was not your problem. They told you how to knock it off, but you couldn't. You know why? Because you were powerless over alcohol. That's the problem. But you really won't be able to see that Unless you stop drinking for a period of time, then look backwards when you get a little clear in the head. And look and see if you ever had power over alcohol. You only knew the one thing to do with it, drink it. That's what it's for, right? That's why they put it in a bottle, so we can drink it. Why do we drink it? Dr. Silkworth said we drink it for the effect of it. Because I love this bouquet. You know, he's drinking Gallo's Tawny Port or something. I used to drink vodka. I had a big glass like that, and I'd fill it up with vodka. No ice. I didn't need anything like that. I know mushing around. This is my last 2 or 3 years drinking. Glass about that size. And I would drink it. I would say to Mrs. O'Keefe, my wife, my current wife, you know I always call her my current wife. I find it keeps her on her toes. I would say, would you like a martini? She didn't drink in those days. And I'd have one of these glasses of warm vodka. I'd say, you want a martini? She'd make a terrible face. Because at that point, she didn't know. She was not an alcoholic. She didn't know about drinking. People who are non-alcoholics don't understand alcoholics. Some civilized, one of my law, you think I could go to one of my law partners, say, let's knock off work and have a couple of big tumblers full of warm vodka? You can't do that. It just wouldn't go. I could not go to work at the law school, walk into one of the professors of law and say, oh, good morning, professor. Geez, I wet the bed last night. I feel awful. I just threw up on my shoe. Now, you'd be dialing the police. There's a man in here making believe he's a professor of law. He just told me something horrible. But I tell that to you, and you laugh. You know why? Because you did the same thing. We. You understand? We. Just like the survivors of a great liner, the book says. The ship has gone down, and we're the ones in the rowboat. And that rowboat ain't going anywhere without we at the oars. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. And that's how it began. It began with a miracle. It continues as a miracle, an ongoing miracle. When I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, there were 200,000 members. Now there are 2 million. I'm sort of middle-aged AA. I've been around long enough to have all the answers, but nobody ever asked me the questions. But that's because I became part of this thing. And if you're new, if you come here new, just stop drinking. You become part of the we. You become part of this thing. You come back next Thursday and we'll talk about it. We've now identified the problem. See, the problem is we're powerless over alcohol. We are powerless over alcohol. That's the problem. The rest of the steps give you, as the book tells you, there is a solution for this. The beginning of the solution would be next week. But for this meeting, if you are new, the thing that you should now try to appreciate is that, first of all, you're now part of us. We want you to be here. We need you to be here. There is nothing we will not do for you if you want to be part of us. We don't force anything on you. We don't sell you anything. We very much want you to be part of us. And if you can become part of the we, then you must admit something. Just admit it. Admit it. Tell me. Tell your sponsor, I'm powerless over alcohol. I can't manage my life anymore. My life's unmanageable. I cannot live with the terror. I don't want to die. I am powerless over alcohol. My life is unmanageable. If you can do that, then you've taken the first step. Thank you.